Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. Foreign traders say Wau Town is not safe for doing business.
Till now, I do not see anything being done against those thieves. I don't see any progress that shows that commitment to solve this problem. What is seen is that we need a proper security mechanisms in the market, and the government should provide that.
And women leaders are calling on President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to provide services to the suffering South Sudanese.
All we need is reconstruction of health centers, schools and grinding machines. We also want the government to fix roads for easy transport to Wau Town.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Foreign traders in Wau are threatening to shut down their businesses unless state officials provide more security to protect their shops. Last night, gunmen broke into at least 10 shops in Wau Town's Joe Market, stealing unspecified sum of money and goods. Wau municipality officials say they don't have enough security to protect all other towns' markets. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Wau.
Angry Sudanese traders protested in Wau this morning against the lack of security after repeated robberies in the area. The traders, most of whom hail from the Sudan's central region, say they will no longer do business in a dangerous environment. 56-year-old Yunis Ibrahim owns a pharmacy in Joe Market. Speaking in Arabic, he says robbers broke into his pharmacy last night and made off with more than 30,000 South Sudanese pounds.
When I deliver a service and I'm not protected, that means there is no need for me to be here. If every time I'm losing my properties and I don't gain anything in that way, I will lose my capital grant. I'm not able to buy new medicine. So what do I do? Just to close down and go.
Ibrahim says this marks the fifth time this year the thieves have broken into his pharmacy to steal money and drugs. He says, despite reporting the matter to the authorities, no arrests have been made. 37-year-old Abdul Hamid Hassan says he has been working in Wau for the last 7 years and owns a hardware shop stocked with building materials in Wau's Joe Market. Speaking in Arabic, he says last night thieves broke into his shop and stole bags of cement.
I locked this store with 3 padlocks and the other shops has 7, and they broke their main store. And around 10 sacks of cement is not there.
Hassan says each trader pays a mandatory 40,000 Sudanese pounds to the local chamber of commerce as a security fee. But he says, despite paying the fee, the government is not protecting the traders from the armed robbers. Speaking in Arabic, 41-year-old businessman Muzammil Osman accused the security personnel of not doing their job.
Every month I pay money for the security, and every time when my shop is broke, till now I do not see anything being done against those thieves. I don't see any progress that shows that commitment to solve this problem. What is seen is that we need a proper security mechanisms in the market, and the government should provide that.
Wau Charles Aleu, chairperson of the Chambers of Commerce in Wau, blames the traders themselves for the robberies. Speaking in Arabic, Aleu says some traders do not follow up their criminal cases.
Traders are also contributing to this. When a thief is caught, they will not follow the court case once they get their properties or money. They don't follow the case anymore. I told police that if any trader does that, he should be detained also, because they are allowing thieves to continue their activities.
Mayor of Wau Municipality Akol Ajit acknowledged that cases of theft in the area are rampant, because there are too few policemen to patrol the markets at night. Akol is calling on traders not to leave the area, saying the government is working to improve security in the markets.
Police forces in Wau are not enough, and when we try to distribute them, they don't cover all areas. We have to admit this. Now we have some of them in the training and they are almost being graduated soon. If they come, it will solve some of this kind of problem. This is the main reason, but we are working on it.
This is the second time traders in Wau have threatened to close down their shops due to rampant insecurity. Ethiopian and Eritrean businessmen threatened to leave the area last year following the murders of some of their colleagues by unknown gunmen in Wau. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
Still in Wau, women leaders are holding a one-day forum to evaluate the effects of the conflict on communities in that part of South Sudan. The UNMISS-sponsored forum is giving women the opportunity to speak about what South Sudanese are expecting from the newly established transitional government of national unity. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Wau, the forum's participants say the government is taking too long to rehabilitate schools and health centers destroyed during the conflict.
The forum drew dozens of women who, along with thousands of others, fled violence in Wau County, which is now divided into the three counties of Baselia, Bagare, and Pile, with President Salva Kiir's creation of 28 states. The women say both government and SPLAIO forces were responsible for the destruction of institutions in their area, and they want the government to take full responsibility for reconstructing the affected facilities in Wau County. Speaking in Arabic, participant Lucia Angelo says now that President Kiir and Vice President Dr. Machar have agreed to work together and stop the fighting, they should rebuild dilapidated structures across the country.
Our health centers are destroyed. They have removed away all the roofing sheets of our schools and we are just staying without schools. So if there is this government of national unity, they should consider fixing these structures.
Another participant, Romana Antonio, says residents need roads so that they can easily access markets in towns. Speaking in Arabic, she says the government should rebuild infrastructures.
All we need is reconstruction of health centers, schools and grinding machines, the problem we face in the village. We also want the government to fix roads for easy transport to our town.
Mustafa Tijang Kela is the UNMIS Civil Affairs team leader. He says bringing women to speak out on issues that affect their return to their homes will help the government identify priority needs for peace building.
We have brought you here today from the county, from the Bomas, from the Payams, so that you can get together in order to identify the issues and problems affecting your communities and how to address those for the building of peace in your communities. We have also brought you together so that we can emphasize the phenomenon of dialogue, because dialogue is very important.
Tijang emphasized the need to involve women in peace-building efforts so that the same mistakes are not repeated again.
Peace-building is the intervention we make to either stop a conflict that is occurring or to prevent the one that has occurred before from coming back. So in order to be able to contribute meaningfully to peace building, we need to understand the root causes of what the conflict is about. Because if we don't understand how the conflict started, what are the causes of it, we will not be able to address it. We will just be sweeping the problem under the carpet.
Angelina Anthony Ubur, Wau State Minister of Local Government, acknowledged that facilities like schools and health centers have been destroyed during the fighting. Speaking in Arabic, she says it will be difficult for the IDPs to return to the areas of Wau County where children cannot go to school.
We are aware that in areas of Baselia we have lost schools, health centers and everything. And the same thing in Bagari and Bazia. So women have to speak because this is how their areas have been affected. Because even if they are going to return to their home, for instance, where will their children study and get treatment?
The organizers stress the need to involve women in all decision-making in the transitional government of national unity moving forward. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
In Juba, South Sudanese women rights activists are also calling on the leaders of the transitional government of national unity to include more women in different levels of government. The women made the call today at the start of a two-day National Women's Conference in Juba. Gift Friday was there and has this report for VOA.
That's Zainab Yassin, chairperson of the South Sudan Women's General Association. Yassin says this conference is important for men and women.
We're here to explain or to enlighten the women and educate them about the peace agreement, the booklet that what we get. We need to explain it to the people and let everybody know and let everybody have it in his hand to understand exactly what is the agreement our government signed for.
Yassin says it is important for South Sudanese women to understand what the peace agreement is about before they can talk about what role women can play in the reconciliation and healing process. She calls on South Sudan's leaders to include some women in the yet-to-be-formed commissions for truth, reconciliation and healing. Yassin also appealed to the leaders of the Transitional Government of National Unity to appoint at least one female judge to the hybrid courts for South Sudan, which is proposed in the August peace agreement. Conference facilitator Priscilla Joseph says women can and should play a key role in implementing the peace agreement.
This agreement is talking about us. There are structures in agreement where we are supposed to be participating. The peace agreement is not only for the government, it's for all of us. As citizens, we have a role to play in its implementation.
Joseph says women have a duty to talk to their husbands and children to stop killing each other. She stresses that women are the peacemakers in the family and the community and should be given a chance, be key players in the healing and reconciliation process in South Sudan. Gatrick Lubanga, who works for a local NGO, South Sudan Women for Peace, says even though South Sudanese leaders are dragging their feet in establishing all institutions of the transitional government of national unity, women will not stop pushing for lasting peace.
We are still here as women. We know our speed, we know our pace, and we expect that what has been lacking, what has been making the two parties not to come together, we want these groups, these gaps filled by what will come out of this meeting. I know the women have been constrained, they have been challenged in many areas. So the women here are saying that we want to strive for peace and we want to work together with the men because we are always partners.
Musician Beatrice Tony says she too can contribute positively in disseminating the peace agreement through her music. She calls upon the South Sudanese people to embrace peace through music.
As women, we really need peace. As there is no way we will remain, you know, running up and down, you know, trying to look for where we can find peace, and yet we don't find peace in the camps where we run to, you know. So what I will beg, if everybody could sing the song of peace, and whatever they have signed in papers should be put into implementation, not really for the sake of putting it, but inside somebody's heart, and the love of the nation should bring it out of us.
Today, the convention will also address women, peace and security, and the role the National Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare plays in ensuring that women have a voice in the new government. More than 450 women from across South Sudan are attending the conference. Gift Friday for VOA News, Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at albinos in Malawi. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today,
What do you think is the most important human right?
To me, the most important human right is for everyone to be given a fair trial, that is, those that are in court, so that they don't get punished for something that they did not commit.
The most important human right is the right to live, because God is the maker of human beings. So he has given you that opportunity. So you should have the freedom to move anywhere you want to. There's no restriction.
The freedom of speech that I think is when I have something which is burning within me, I have the right to tell you, do you think you are doing is wrong? When it's right, I will tell you, do you think it's right? And when you stop me from saying that, everything will get worse because you have neglected my right.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Civil rights campaigners in Malawi say stronger laws are needed to protect albinos from senseless attacks. The activists march on the country's parliament this week to ask lawmakers to pass laws to protect albinos. Lamek Masina reports from Lilongwe that the United Nations warned last month albinos in Malawi are at risk of total extinction amid a spike in killings and attacks for their body parts.
Several hundred people participated in a march to parliament in Lilongwe. One of their placards read, "Wake up, parliamentarians." Edward Chineka Banda is organizing chairperson for the march.
The presentation of the petition to parliament marks our determination as citizens and the civil society organizations to call for immediate stop and end to the killings of people with albinism.
The petition calls for life imprisonment for people who attack albinos. Parliament member Esther Jairus Cholobala received the petition on behalf of the Speaker of Parliament. She said lawmakers will take swift action.
You know, it's disturbing a lot when you see that perpetrators are being, you know, sent back either due to bail or maybe lenient judicial sentences. It increases the fear our people living with albinism is having here in Malawi.
17 albinos have been killed in Malawi in the past 2 years. Few perpetrators are caught. The president of Association of People with Albinism in Malawi, Boniface Massa, said for a long time Malawi has been paying lip service on addressing the attacks.
The stage is that the law has to go. It has to be speeded up and they must have resources channeled to address that process.
People with albinism and absence of pigment in their skin, hair and eyes are targeted in Malawi and other parts of Africa because of a false belief potions made from their body parts will bring good luck and wealth. Malawi has dedicated this week to raising awareness on the issue. The country's top football league kicked off its Game Over campaign. The league invited albino individuals to a special match and posted banners around the stadium denouncing attacks. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Lilongwe.
The United Nations say nearly 3 million people in drought-stricken Zimbabwe are going hungry. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva. The world body expects that the number to exceed 4 million as full impact of El Nino weather phenomenon kicks in.
UN Resident Coordinator for Zimbabwe, Bisho Parajuli, says the impact of little rain and low crop yields following 2 years of drought is painfully visible in Matabele land and other dry lands.
I recently visited that area with a number of donors and ambassadors. We could really see the desperation and the severity of the situation.
A few weeks ago, the United Nations appealed for $360 million to provide life-saving assistance for more than 3 million people. The priority needs are for food, water, health, nutrition, sanitation, and protection. Parajuli says $70 million has been received, leaving a gap of $290 million. He says it is critical for donors to respond generously and immediately to this appeal.
Given Zimbabwe, a landlocked country, and also the whole Southern Africa region is affected by El Nino, and lack of surplus of maize, it's very critical to plan in advance in terms of importation and supply chain delivery. So early response will really help save lives and suffering among population.
Parajuli says he is particularly worried about the so-called lean season between September and March. This is the period between harvests when farmers' food stocks are at their lowest. He says people will be severely affected by the lack of food, and many will not be able to count on their cattle as a lifeline, as tens of thousands have died from lack of water and grazing land. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Migrants are being rescued every day on the Mediterranean Sea as they try to make their way to Europe. Many of them are from sub-Saharan Africans discovered in old wooden boats or rubber dinghies. About 1,400 people have died making the journey, but the exact number may never be known. It's not clear how many of those flimsy vessels capsize and sink without any rescue in sight. Rescue vessels have been very busy over the past two days. Reporter Anatolis Frezza is following developments from Palermo, Sicily. She spoke to VOA's Joe DiCapo.
Some 3,000 migrants were saved off the Libyan coast yesterday in a single day in 38 separate rescue missions. The Italian Coast Guard say this meant that more than 5,600 migrants had been rescued from various boats in the southern Mediterranean in just 2 days. Coast Guard boats, vessels from the European Union Naval Operation and its border agency Frontex, a boat from the humanitarian organization SOS Mediterranee, and two tugboats from an offshore oil platform and one merchant ship were all involved in the rescue operation of these 2 days. The majority of the migrants rescued have not yet arrived in Italy. Two rescue vessels will arrive today in Sicily, one with 1,000 migrants on board in Palermo and another one in Messina this evening. Other three vessels are expected to arrive tomorrow in other Italian ports like Salerno near Naples and Brindisi and in Sardinia. And unfortunately, we have a bad news to give as a little baby, two and a half baby from Cameroon has been transferred from the SOS Mediterranean ship to hospital by helicopter as he was found dehydrated and with serious problems.
So a 2.5-year-old child from Cameroon, any word about the child's parents?
The child's mother, she's okay. But the baby is in a very serious conditions because he can't breathe properly. Now he's in Palermo Hospital and we are waiting to know about his health conditions. You have to imagine that these people are found after days of the desert and then the seas.
Antonella, what happens when these migrants and refugees arrive in Italy? Do they have to stay in Italy? Are they able to go to other European countries, for example?
This is a good question in the sense that, first of all, they are ferried to the reception center in Italy. Then they have to be identified. And then the people who have the right to apply for the asylum seeker procedure, they should be relocated in other European countries. But the problem is that this reallocation plan is not working since September, only 580 migrants have been relocated in other European countries. And according to the Brussels Agreement, 36,000 should be relocated in 2 years. But at the moment, only 580. So as usual, European Union is not so united. Officials fear that the numbers trying to make the crossing to Italy will increase as weather conditions continue to improve. and also humanitarian organizations say that the sea route between Libya and Italy is now the main route for asylum seekers heading for Europe.
The 36,000 people that you mentioned that are supposed to be relocated, are they all in Italy?
Yes, they are. They are. We have something like 100,000 migrants in our reception centers waiting to know if their request of asylum has been accepted and then waiting to be relocated. They are all in Italy.
Well, let's talk about northern Italy, the Alps, its border with Austria at the Brenner Pass. There has been some controversy, of course, as Austria wants to impose migrant controls there. Any new information about that?
Well, we can say that Vienna does not trust Italy. The Austrian Interior Minister said that Italy has not kept its promises, and so it decided to send 80 more police and support staff to boost patrols around the Alpine Brenner Pass in order to catch rising numbers of registered migrants coming from Italy. Austria said illegal crossings started to increase last week. Austria talks about 40 or 50 migrants passing the border every day. Italy denies, saying that is true the contrary, that is migrants who enter Italy from Austria. The truth is that they are both right. There are reports, many reports, confirming that migrants enter Italy from Austria and vice versa.
That's reporter Antonella Sferraza from Palermo. She spoke to VOA's Joe DiCapo. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Foreign traders in Wau are threatening once again to close down their businesses if state officials don't provide better security to protect their shops. Last night, gunmen broke into at least 10 shops in Wau Town's Jaw Market, stealing money and dozens of goods. The traders say unless security improves immediately, they will leave the country. Local authorities say they're trying to hire more security agents. Women leaders are holding a forum in Wau today to evaluate the effect that the conflict has had in Wau County. At the UNMISS-sponsored forum on women and decision-making, women expressed their concerns that the newly established transitional government of national unity is not channeling enough resources for rehabilitating schools and health centers destroyed during the conflict. The forum drew dozens of women who fled violence in Wau County during the fighting. And finally, South Sudanese women rights activists are also calling on the leaders of the transitional government to include more women in different branches of government in the new government. Women made the call today at the start of a two-day National Women's Conference in Juba. The Zainab Yassin is chairperson of the South Sudan Women's General Association. She says the conference is important for men and women because they are enlightening and educating women about the peace deal. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Sika Andaya by Amir Juba.
Mara biligohuria wente, yale biligohura hawe. Mara biligohuria wente. David Stewart Warkozi,
producer Isaac Isaka.
Amir Katolosim. Papa betala sabagalo mati shokol, abo betala sabagalo mati shokol. Belefo bekade lebe sandaya, belefo bekade lebe sandaya. Kuluyom sikandaya mini saba, kuluyom sikandaya mini saba,
kuluyom sikandaya.
Ale kolo betala ta
We have been listening to Amir Juba with that song, Sikandaya. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you were able to stay with us throughout this show. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Thank you.